as we was thinking about the service tonight, the Lord put the thought of repent on our heart is kind of the thought that we have. So if you want to follow along, we're going to start reading over in Matthew chapter number 4. Matthew chapter number 4, verse number 17. So we're repent is the thought here tonight, and I was thinking there's a great many scriptures you could look at when thinking about repentance and how to repent, but I wanted to start right here in Matthew. I felt like this was a good place to start. This is after Jesus has been baptized here, and he's gone into the wilderness and been tempted, and you see here, as you read in Matthew, it talks about his temptation there, and then he's wandering into Nazareth there, and it says that he's come, and there's Gentiles there around, and he's going to call some of his disciples here right at this time. And it says in verse 17, for that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And the thought that I had with this verse to go along, and the Lord was showing me, is that, you know, sometimes we get so carried away with focusing on other things and not pay attention to what's going on. But we need to realize that we're in this kingdom now, and that the things that are going on in this world, you know, are just part of the plan of God's will. You know, he said that things would wax worse and worse and wane worse and worse, you know, until he came. And we know that we're seeing that today in America and across the world, that people are turning their backs on him in droves. And, you know, we need to remember that we need to repent. You know, we so often hear that scripture, and I'm going to try and quote it for you. I'm going to mess it up, I know. Danny said Sunday, you know, that he likes to just read it so he don't mess it up, but I don't have it marked here, and it'll all have to fumble around to find it. But it says, if my people which are called by my name will turn from their wicked ways and repent, I will hear from heaven and heal their land. You know, that's what we need today, is we need to repent. And if you're not a Christian here today and you haven't accepted Jesus Christ and as your Lord and Savior, you need to repent of your sins today. You know, that's the only way that you're going to make heaven your eternal home, is if you repent. And Jesus even said, this is at the start of his ministry here, it says, repent. And it said that John came before him, and it said that he cried out in the wilderness to repent. You know, we need to repent today of the things that we've done wrong. If you're a Christian and you've sinned against God, you know, that's possible to sin and backslide on the Lord. If you've sinned, you need to ask for repentance of your sin, and the Lord will help you and forgive you of those sins if you truly ask for repentance. If you get that that feeling, that satisfaction that the Lord's forgiven you, that he's washed away that sin as white as snow, that he's thrown it into the sea of forgetfulness, then you know that you're covered, that it's all been paid for. You know, we can read about that same scripture over in Mark, if you want to look at that as a reference. Mark 1 and 15, that's a similar passage to what's going on here in Matthew that we just read. But I don't want to read that just at this moment. I want to kind of look over a little bit later in Matthew chapter number 22. Very familiar scripture. If you've heard me preach, I preach it a lot. It's the Great Commandment. We're going to read in Matthew 22, verse 37 and 38. This verse has verses here has really stuck out to me a lot here lately, and I feel like I've used it a lot in my preaching. But the Lord's got a meaning in it, and you know he's asked here by the Sadducees, which is the greatest commandment in all the law? And he said, Jesus, in verse number 37 there of chapter 22, Jesus said unto them, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And I want to kind of look at those three things there about the heart, the soul, and the mind. How can we love the Lord? How can we do these things? How can we love the Lord with our mind, our heart, and our soul? And I've got a scripture over here. I want to look at the heart first. We're going to do a lot of scripture flipping. So hopefully you've got your Bibles with you. We're going to look over in Psalms chapter 119, verse 10. Chapter 119, verse 10 of the book of Psalms. And it says, "With my whole heart have I sought thee, O Lord. O let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Or more commonly put, that I might not sin against God. Part of our pledge. And you know, as a Christian and a Bible, you know, the Bible pledge there, we talk about those things and those pledges. And that's part of loving the Lord, is to read His scripture and to hide those words in our heart, so that way, Danny talked about it on Sunday, about all these people in the Old Testament didn't have the Bible. Even in the New Testament, they didn't have the Bible put together the way we have it now. And you know, that's such a blessing to us that we can take these things and memorize them. And they did those things with the Old Testament scrolls. You know, they would memorize those things because they didn't have mass-produced printed copies the way that we do today. You know, the Bible is the most printed book of all time, and that's something that they didn't have at that time. And they had to remember those things by memory, commit them to memory, if that was how they were going to have anything to study or to learn to love the Lord. And you know, that was the way that they did it. And today we have to study this and show the Lord our love and repent from our sins. And when we repent from our sins, we'll want to love the Lord more and more each day. And this is how we do it, is in our heart we learn these scriptures and we commit them to memory. You know, we teach children in Sunday school. You know, I know most of you probably did Bible drills or you did memory verses, you know, and that's something that's great that helps us to remember, because obviously you can see the older we get, especially even me, I've forgotten some of those verses. I don't remember them exactly right. And it's good to have that refresher, to have the Bible that we can easily flip open to and study. Let's look at the mind a little bit. We've already talked a little bit about remembering that. We're going to flip over to Romans. Romans chapter 12. You might want to put a bookmark there in Psalms. We're going to be coming back. Over in Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12, verse 2. And this again is a scripture we hear quoted a lot. It says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." When we focus our mind and our heart in the right place, and we're continually focused on our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and doing what He has for us to do, I'm telling you, things in your life will start to fall into place and it will become easier. Not to say that there won't be things that come and get up in your way and try and stand against you, but you'll always have your Lord and Savior with you. You know, I had some issues at home with Carson's been struggling with some fear, it seems like, over this COVID crisis and a little bit with death in particular. And you know, we started doing a family prayer every night. The three of us will pray before we go to bed with him in his bedroom. And forgive me if I'm airing out a little business here, but you know, it's helped me immensely. I know that You know, you're say some people will say, well, you should have been doing that anyway. We were, but it not in the sense that we've taken it to now. We've kind of, he's turned 7 years old now, and or he's getting ready to. And, you know, he's understanding things more, and I feel like he's coming to that age where he's starting to understand things. So we've tried to teach him more of an adult prayer, more than just a regular child's prayer, and he does such a good job with it. He'll ask if we have any requests or any unspoken requests, and then we pray. And, you know, he's done a fantabulous job with that. And as a dad, I couldn't be more proud of him. But he still has those issues where it seems like that he struggles with that fear of what's going on, which I understand that it's different for children of this age group. And for all ages, children growing up, you know, in our life, you know, the thing that changed was 9/11 changed my life, was the thing that changed the world, 9/11 was. And this is going to define this generation, this COVID crisis is. This will be something that they talk about with their families when they get older. And, you know, we have to learn. We've talked a lot about laying our burdens down at the feet of the Lord here recently. And, you know, we got to lay those burdens down. And it's hard to sometimes explain that at in a need and a time to a child or to maybe someone that's young in the faith to lay your burdens down. But I'm here to tell you today, if you can just learn to lay your burdens down at the feet of the Lord and just walk away from them and leave them, you'll be a whole lot better off. The Lord will take care of those things. It may not, as we've talked about here in the past few weeks, it may not be in a time that you want it to be. It may take some time. It may happen instantly. You know, it could happen in 20 years from now. But you got to learn to lay it down and give it to the Lord. And when the devil tries to throw it in your face, you need to just tell him, devil, I've given it to the Lord, and you're not gonna distract me. Get thee behind me, Satan, is what Christ said. You know, that's what we need to say. Get thee behind me. I got my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He's going to help me get through this. So that's a way we can work with it in our mind and in our soul. I want to flip over to Psalms chapter 23. Again, another familiar scripture reading, Psalms 23. You could really quote the whole thing, but I'm just going to read it to make sure I don't mess it up. And it says, and I'm just going to read the first part of it here. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures, and he leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He restoreth my soul. And you say, how can he do that? How does he restore my soul? Well, I'm here today to tell you, if you don't repent of your sins, then he can't restore your soul. Your soul is going to be bound to an everlasting hellfire when the day comes and he returns and he judges us. If you don't repent of your sins, the only way he can restore your soul and replenish your soul, rebuild that inner working, is if you turn your life over to him and ask him to be your personal Lord and Savior. That's the only way that that can happen, is if you allow him into your life, to allow him to make you new. He is the potter and you're the clay. He'll mold you and make you new if you just trust in him. He will restore your soul to what it was meant to be. He will make it whole. He'll take those sins and he'll wash them away whiter than snow. Let's look over in Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3, and this may apply to you today. Maybe the Lord's asking you to do something. Maybe he has been knocking at your door for a while to be a Sunday school teacher or a minister or to witness to somebody. Or maybe you don't know the Lord today as your personal Savior and you felt this heaviness on your heart. This is what the Lord is telling me to tell you today. He says in chapter 3 there, verse number 19, as many as I love, I rebuke and chastain. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Notice he says, this is the start to what I want to get to. Repent. There it is again, and it's in red, just so you know. That's twice I've read it here. And it says, repent in red. You have to repent. And I know that, you know, we live in a society today that says, you know, I'm not wrong. I can't be wrong. You know, it's everybody else's fault. I'm here today to tell you that you're the only one that can get you into heaven. You are the only one. It's nobody else's fault if you don't make it to heaven. You have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's a personal choice that you have to make today. Let's look at number 20 here. It says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me. You see, you have to accept him in order for you to get this stuff with, to love him with your heart, mind, and soul. You have to repent of your sins. You know, you can have people today, we have people that come to church that maybe aren't Christians, that have come to church their whole life, and they know the Lord Jesus Christ, and they may even tell you that they love him, but if they truly love him, if you truly love Jesus and ask him to forgive you of your sins and repent of those sins, then those next three things will become the most important things in your life to you, to make sure that your heart's where it's supposed to be, that your mind's thinking the way that he wants it to think, and that your soul is in the right place with the Lord. You know, doing those things, he will keep you replenished if you make sure that he is your number one priority and that he has forgiven you of your sins. I like what the next verse has to say here, 21. It says, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. You see, I want to tell you today that you can't come to church one Sunday morning and repent of your sins and then go back out in the world and go back to sinning. You got to put the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, first in your life. Number one in your life. He has to be number one. Nobody else can be in front of him. And the Bible tells us that he's a jealous God. And, you know, we must love him. If you go back into the Old Testament, you know, you can see where he was harsh with his people when they turned away from him. And as he should be, you know, we should want to serve the Lord. Is that to say that sometimes we don't stray? I think we do. I think that sometimes we stray and the Lord grants us mercy to come back. If we seek him, you know, we've heard of people being backslid before. In fact, that was me. I was allowed. He gave me that opportunity to come back from my life of sinfulness. He showed me that I was living wrong and that I needed to get back to him, and that he was the only way that things were going to turn around in my life. And I'm so thankful today that I did. And I'm telling you today, if that's you, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior at one point and you've turned your back on him and went back out into the world, you need to come back today. If you feel that heaviness on your heart and the Lord's tugging at you and you feel that condemning spirit, you need to turn from your wicked ways and repent of your sins, and he will forgive you of your sins. You know, we can't just there's no thing, I know people argue with you, there's no thing as once saved, always saved. Because right here it clearly says, to him that overcometh. Did you hear me? Overcometh. You've got to overcome things in this life. You're going to have to deal with trials and tribulations in this life. And you know, we need to stay focused through those things. If we keep our eyes on the Lord or keep our eyes on the cross, we'll always be heading in the right direction. We'll always know where to go as long as we keep focused on the Lord and we turn loose of the wheel and quit trying to steer it ourselves and just say, Jesus, you gotta take control of my life, and you are the only one that can guide me in the right direction, Lord, is you. We have to learn to let go. We've got to let go. If we truly repent of our sins and quit trying to steer our life in the own direction. You know, I'm afraid that with some people it's become a sin to them because they try so hard to resist what the Lord would have for them to do that it becomes a stumbling block, that resistance that the Lord is calling them to do something. And I'm telling you, I ran from preaching for about 6 months, and it was an experience that I've got now that I can look back on and say, boy, if I'd have just done what he wanted me to do when he asked me to do it, I'd probably been a little better off than what I am now. And you know, that's the way it is. Just trust in the Lord. It's hard. I get it. It's hard. And there's going to be things that come up in this life that will try and sway you away, but don't be like those seeds that fell on the thorny ground. Be the seeds that produce good fruit. You know, we need to be able to withstand the storm. You know, we hear the story of the wise man who built his house upon the rock. You know, and we know that rock is Jesus, and not to build our house upon the sand, because when the storm came, it washed away the man's house that was built upon the sand because of the unstable foundation. You need to have a good, strong foundation today. And that foundation is Jesus Christ. He is the chief cornerstone. He is the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no man cometh unto the Father except by me. You know, we know that is true because it's in red. He said it. That's the only way that we can make heaven our eternal home, is through Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We must repent of our sins today, people. I'm here to tell you that, listen, he's coming back, whether you like it or not. Gold City's got that song that says, you know, he's coming back. Somebody tell the FBI, the CIA, somebody's coming, and he's going to change everything. And he is. He's going to change everything, because you know why? This is all going to be gone. He's going to wipe this world away. It says, for the old earth and the old heavens were wiped away, for behold, all things are new. In Revelation, I believe it says, I make all things new. He told the disciples before he went away, he said, I go away to prepare a place for you. For in my Father's house are many mansions, for if it were not so, I would have told you. Jesus is the way. He is the way. You must repent of your sins today. If you have not confessed your sins to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, if he's not your Savior today, you need to repent of your sins. And I know that this seems like it's kind of a strange message at this time, but you know, I'm telling you, church, I've been saying it for a long time. I felt it in my heart and that stirring in my soul that what this country needs more than anything, and you know, I know I could hear amens if the church house was full tonight, but we need a revival. This, not just Edinburgh Church, not just the Separate Baptists, America and the whole world needs a revival. We need a reawakening to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We've tried to put him on the back burner, to push him as far away as we can. We've tucked the Ten Commandments out of the schools and out of the courthouses. We've tucked prayer out of school. And school shootings are through the roof. We have children dealing with depression and anxiety and all these different things, suicide, you know, and that's just a terrible thing to think that our children would think that the only way out, the only thing that's better in this life, is to kill themselves. It's a sad state of affairs in which we're in here in this country today and across this world. We need to put Jesus Christ back at the front and at the center. We need to bring prayer back into school. We need to put the Ten Commandments back into the church, it should be in the churches, but you know, it may not be in some. You know, we need to get it back in the courthouses and in the schools. We need to teach our children the things that are important. The Bible says, if you train up a child in the way he should go, when he is old, he shall not depart from it. That's what we need to do today, church. I'm telling you, if we don't start changing the way that things are going on in this country, it's going to get a lot worse. We need to wake up and repent of our sins. There's only one way that man can be saved, and that is by the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. One way. We need to quit this thing with this abortions. That's murder. I know that people say, my body, my choice. I'm going to tell you the same thing when it comes to wearing a mask. My body, my choice. And it's the same way with your soul. It's your choice. You have to make the choice to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you don't accept him as your Lord and Savior, you're condemning yourself to that lake of fire and everlasting torment in hell. You have to make that choice today, friend. It's you that make the choice whether or not you go to heaven or you go to hell. If you want to serve the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, you must repent of your sins. You must repent. And what this nation needs is to turn back to the Lord. We need to get these things back forefront in our mind, that we should love the Lord our God with all our heart, mind, and soul. That's what we need to get across to this country today, is that we've got to quit putting money and quit putting everything else as the number one priority in our lives. Do you know why? Because at the end of life, I'm going to tell you something, it don't matter. You ain't taking it with you. It doesn't matter if you're Joe Bezos and you're the richest guy on the planet. He may have trillions of dollars, but I'm telling you what, if he was to die today, he ain't taking none of it with him. Because when Christ judges him, he ain't going to have nothing but whatever his form looks like, whether it's a ghostly looking form or whether we look like we do today, whatever it is, that's all he's going to have with him. And the Lord's going to stand there and he's going to open up the book and he's going to say, these are the things that you've done in this body. Have you accepted me as your Lord and Savior? Oh, I don't see it. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. Or he's going to say, well done. Enter into your reward. You've kept the faith. Those are the two options. It's black and white today, people. I'm here to tell you. It's not all these in-between things that we try and tell our children today. Well, if it's not this, well, then it's that. And if it's not this, it's that. It's right or it's wrong. You're either in or you're out. The Bible says that he would rather you be cold, because if you're lukewarm, he's going to spew you out of his mouth. He would rather you be cold. You need to be hot. You need to be on fire. And that's what we need today in this country, is that revival spirit of being reawakened and wanting to serve the Lord. We must overcome. We must overcome as Christians. You need to fight today. You need to stand up for what you believe in, for the Lord and Savior. If he is the one in your life, you need to stand up and do the things that he tells you in this book to do. He will guide you. He sent the Comforter to help us and to guide us through these things. And, you know, we need to make sure that we stay focused on him through it all. Let's look in one more spot here in Matthew chapter 24. I told you we'd be doing a lot of Bible flipping here tonight. I want to kind of hit on this again for a minute here. If you don't know the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we invite you to know him. We invite you to know him. But if you have turned your back on the Lord, we invite you to come back to him too. But this is for you Christians out there today. Matthew chapter 24, verse 13, it says, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. We're going to go through things here, Christians. I'm here to tell you, things are going to probably keep getting worse. But we can fix that with a lot of prayer and a lot of studying and a lot of praying down conviction power upon the lost. You know, we need to pray for the lost, that the Lord would send conviction power. You know, we say that we don't see the church house filled like we used to, but that's kind of redundant at this point. You know, we don't at this point because of this crisis. But even before that, you know, we didn't see the church as full as we used to. That's because we've allowed all these other things to come in and take over, sports and work and just whatever, you know, just family, which not that family is bad, but you got to have it in the right priority. If you truly loved your family, you would have them here at church to help them to learn and to grow, because not everybody's on the same level. I'm not at the level that my father or my grandparents are, and my children aren't at the level that I'm at. You know, we're all learning and growing at different age groups and different things. We've all experienced different things. We all see things in the Bible and learn different things at different times. And, you know, we just need to make sure that if we're truly committed, that we're spending time with our fellow Christians. We need, not to say that you can't, you need to spend time with the lost amongst you too, because how else can they see the light of Jesus Christ unless they see you? You know, but you can't forsake the assembling of yourselves together in church. You know, the Bible tells us not to do that. We need to remember to do that and to remember one another so that we have that bond, that strength to help us to grow. But we need to be able to be a light unto the world. You know, we got to endure things. And you say, well, that's what we're enduring right now, is all these things that you've mentioned. Well, we don't have to endure those things. The Lord, I think, allows us to make certain choices, and he allows and he works through those choices that are made, because he knows what those choices are going to be before they even happen. He's omnipotent. He's omnipotent. He knows all because he created all. And one of these days, you're going to stand before him and he's going to judge you. Have you repented of your sins is what I want to ask you tonight. Have you repented? We need to be praying for conviction upon the lost. If we have stuff in our lives that are in the way of between us and the Lord, we need to repent. And if you don't know the Lord and Savior as your Jesus, Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is your personal Savior, we invite you to repent of those sins and to come and to know him as well.